Americana with your hosts,
Benzie and Will.
Thanks for tuning in. Hello, Americana listeners. Welcome to a new episode of Americana.
New episode, welcome. How are you, Benzie?
I'm doing good. I've actually really been excited for this month. We're following along with the theme of a women's month, which is all of March. And so if you haven't listened to any recent podcasts, we've been collaborating with a few other podcasts and kind of addressing certain topics about just women in general, whether you want to call it feminism or not. It all kind of just works under the whole umbrella of the women's month.
I think it's been fun kind of seeing different topics and highlighting, you know, awesome women, which I think that is what we'll talk about later in this episode, which it's really exciting. And you know
it's funny because to go back, you know, every episode that we go over, we always recap on our weeks. And I was talking with someone the other day and I was like, you know, I take relaxing very seriously. To me, it's a big part of making sure that, like, my week is good.
That's true. A Sunday well spent brings a week of content.
Yes, that's what I heard. It's a popular, I guess some people have heard it, at least not everybody.
And you know me, you know my favorite day is Sunday.
Which is why my sister thought you were going to name your child Sunday Orchid.
I was like, no, but that's a good idea.
Thanks for my next one, maybe.
Yeah, I wish it would be forever Sunday. I just love Sundays so much.
I really do, like, take it seriously. Like, I need to wind down after my day is up. You know, I can't just come home from work and go to sleep unless it's been, like, a horribly awful long day. But I like to wind down. Weekends, I don't like to overbook myself. Or if I do plan things, I like to do that, like, later in the afternoon so I can sleep in. And I try to do, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah.
At least for me. And maybe it's unproductive because people are like, no, the weekends is when you clean and you do this.
Yeah.
And my dad is like that. But for me, I'm just like, let me just stay in bed until, like, it hurts almost.
I'm like, sometimes I just wake up with the bug of, like, I gotta clean every inch of this place. Like, this morning was that for me. Like, I stripped the bed and did the laundry. And then, because with the baby now, I feel like I'm doing laundry every day. Like, I would never do so much laundry. I think for Leo and I, we'd do, like, laundry every, like, other week. And then now I'm washing almost every other day. Because the baby goes through all her onesies right away. And then, or, like, she'll, like, have a couple accidents on our bed, so we've got to change the sheets all the time. So, that's how my Sundays are usually. But I like it because I like there's no mail, there's no, like, courtesy calls.
Yeah, it's just a relaxing
day. Nobody bothers you on Sunday.
Yeah, except for me when I come here to record. Yeah,
and then it's funny because in Jersey, so when we lived in, I grew up in Philly, as you guys know. And so when we moved to Jersey, they've got this thing called, or Bergen County does, exclusively has the blue collar laws. Okay. Where there's nothing's open on Sunday. So no malls are open, no store, you know, no, you can't buy alcohol on Sunday. The only thing really to do on a Sunday is, like, the movies and food shop.
You can't buy alcohol on Sunday?
No, it's, like, after a certain time, you can't. So I think it's, like, there's, like, a couple hours that you can, but then you can't after, like, 5 or something.
And I know in Florida, it's, like, you can't purchase alcohol before a certain time, and then after a certain time, based on where you go. Like, if you're going to a bar, it's different.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to a store, they stop selling it at a certain point until the next day, until a certain point.
So when we moved from Philly to Jersey, and, like, because in Philly, our Sunday thing was to go to the mall, and we moved to Jersey, and we're, like, oh, man, we can't go to the mall.
Even here, like, the mall's closed at, like, 6 p.m.
Yeah, so we, like, I think Jersey made me love Sundays even more because, like, as we were there, it was just like, okay, this is time to be together, especially during football season. We'd enjoy it together, you know, watch the game at home. And now, even here, I find myself saying, like, Lil will be like, oh, do you want to go out? You want to go to the mall? And I'm like, it's Sunday. He's like, it opens. See, I was like, oh, my God, that's right. Yeah. I'm so, like, conditioned to think everything's closed on Sunday.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I really take relaxation seriously. And it's why, I mean, I've been on vacations where I, like, a couple years ago, actually, almost 2 years to the day, exactly, a whole bunch of friends of mine and I went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I went with the intention of, like, relaxing in the mountain. Nope. We did everything. We went horseback riding, we went sledding, we went skiing. It was a road trip, so it was like 10 hours in the car. So there was very little relaxing. It was to bed late, wake up super early.
Yeah.
But it was very fun. But my ideal vacations, if you guys remember, we went to the cruise in August.
That's my ideal.
Like, just going and relaxing and not having an agenda. And we didn't sign up for excursions or anything. It was just, let's go and enjoy the beach. And what everybody paid their way, so whatever you want to do is what you do.
Yeah.
You know? And it was, we did party and we went to the club and it was fun, but...
The sea is my drug. Like, I step on a boat and I'm, like, instantly, like, groggy. I'm, like, I can take a nap all day.
Yeah. Especially on those beds.
Oh, my gosh. And the blackout rooms, you, like, think it's midnight all day.
3 in the afternoon.
You're like, what? It's lunchtime?
Yeah. So this week and my theme really has just been relaxation because my life is about to ramp up very, very quickly.
Very soon.
Yeah, I have a couple of things going on at my job that I'm working
on. I feel like talking to you, I'm like, am I doing enough? I feel like you're always busy. And I'm always texting you like, hey, you know, and you're just like, no, we're, and I'm like, okay.
I'm not going to out you, but you have a very intense career, so don't even ever compare.
No, but I'm just like, oh my god, I always have to think, oh no, Benzie, she's busy today, or she's doing this today, and I'm just like...
Well, I mean, I guess it's different, because I don't have... I was telling someone that I was speaking to, I was like, I don't have an excuse to not hustle very hard. Like, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, so... Right now I'm focusing on just bettering myself, and, you know, that means school soon, that means volunteering for things at my job.
Mentality is good to have sometimes.
Yeah, being a little selfish, and I learned that from your husband before he met you.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I'm just focusing on being selfish this year, and then that was the year he met you, and he got, you know.
Sometimes it's like saying yes, like you just do things, and if you're gonna, being selfish is, sometimes people think it's a bad thing, but it can be really good.
There was a phrase that was about saying no. It makes it easier to say no to some things when you have a bigger yes on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like you have a bigger yes to something bigger and better for yourself. And so it's easy to say no to things that are not serving that part of what you want your life to become.
Yeah.
You guys have to see Wilkes. I wish we could have... She's petting her child's hair.
She's with us today. You know, she loves to cameo.
You might hear some gurgles from time to time.
Yeah, she's knocked out. I feel like she's going through a little growth spurt because she's been knocked out the whole time we've been here. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been here a few hours already.
And yesterday she slept all day to the point where Leo was like so scared. It was like 11 and he was like, she hasn't, and I'm like, don't worry, she'll sleep the whole night. And
right.
She does.
She does. Oh,
and then, you know, daylight savings today. Mm-hmm. We lost an hour.
We sprung forward.
So, like, I was feeding her, and, like, I always check the time just to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, like, you know, 1:30, and then I was done, and then I woke up again, and it was, like, 4, and I was like, whoa, what happened? Mm-hmm. That was not 3 hours of sleep. It was really, like, 2, but it jumped so much. Yeah.
I love fallback. I love fallback.
Yeah.
Spring forward sucks.
Really? I love spring forward because I love having sun. Like, I hate getting home now and it being dark.
I was looking, I'm like, why is it so bright? It's 7 o'clock. And it's because we can literally go to the pool at this time and we'll be okay.
That's like, this is why I like it. Like, yeah, it sucks in the beginning because you lose that hour.
Yeah.
But it's just so
your days are longer.
So much better.
I will tell you, when we went to New Jersey, I had to put up a Snapchat because it was like 5:15 in the afternoon. And it was pitch black. I mean, you guys, it wasn't like the sun was setting.
No,
it might as well have been midnight.
Yeah.
It was pitch black.
That's why, like, I guess maybe in Jersey or in, like,
it
in the
sense.
East Coast, it's a little sad. Like, I know there's a lot of people who go through, like, seasonal depression because...
But in Florida, it's sunny. I mean, it's going to be
8
o'clock.
It's going to
be
8
o'clock and the sun will not have set. Or it's going to be setting.
Yeah,
so,
no, Jersey and it's not like that. Like, 4 o'clock, you're, like, still at work and you're just like, what the heck? It's dark as
well,
heck.
I mean, we have 2 coasts. So being a peninsula, the sun's constantly out.
Yeah.
But I can imagine people in, like, the Midwest, for instance, who don't have coasts.
Yeah, no, it's just that to go into work and the sun is not out, and then get out of work and the sun's not out, and it's just like, what the, you're never seeing daylight.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was my week. How about yours, Wilkes?
My week was cool. I stumbled into the black hole of the Ed Sheeran album this week.
Oh my god, I love it. On your recommendation.
Fantastic.
On your recommendation, I listened to it, and then the other, there's a song there called Perfect.
Okay, that is everyone's wedding song this
year. For real, I'm like, anyone who gets married or engaged is gonna have
it's perfect. Gonna be another, his last song, The Darling.
Baby,
yeah. Yeah, that one. And then, did you hear supermarket flowers?
Yeah, and I'm like, Wookie did not warn me.
I didn't want...
I'm, like, sobbing in the car.
Yeah, I heard it, and I was like, oh, I hope Benzie... I know Benzie's gonna... This one's gonna get
I didn't know
her.
Where it was heading. I thought it was, like, a breakup, and then... And then he just said the phrase about, like, oh, it was a, my mom was a an angel,
you're an
shape,
angel
of
shape of my mom.
And then I was like, oh! And I just, like, bawled in the car. I'm driving home, like, trying not to crash. And I was literally going to text you, like, what, you didn't
I knew
me.
It. Like, I told Leo, like, I made him listen to it, and I was like, Benzie's going to hear this, and she's going to be like, why didn't you warn me? Because I was like, we have a group text, and I'm, like, telling everyone, like, please go, it's so good.
And then
good.
Her warning was, some songs are sad. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, let me not, like, call Benzie out. I'm just going to say, some are sad, so be ready. I mean, he's just a great songwriter.
I love that he can do a lot of, like, Celtic folk songs.
Yeah.
Like, he did one for, called Nancy Mulligan, about his
grandmother.
His grandma. I loved it. It was so cute.
His whole album is kind of like Irish, very, it's getting back to his Irish roots, and you know, he's such a cool kid, like, the other day we were on the way to work, and he was on the Breakfast Club. I don't know if any of you guys listened to it, but like,
what?
Charlamagne.
He was on the Breakfast Club?
He's got street
cred.
He does, and like, they made him rap, and he rapped.
He raps in Eraser, and in... Something girl.
Galway girl.
Galway girl.
Mm-hmm. And he's just such a cool, like, he's just so great. It made me, like, love him. He's coming to Orlando.
That's going to be, oh my God, that's
going to
be a crazy show.
And so, like, his tickets go on sale on Monday, I think, tomorrow, or, you know, Monday. And so I'm like, I've been hinting at Leo, like, oh, I would love to go to this concert.
A Sharon concert.
He's coming to the Amway Center.
I like the song Barcelona with Spain. He starts talking in Spanish in it.
I just love that album.
He's awesome.
It's just great.
There's a really funny meme of him wearing the Divide shirt, carrying a bag.
Buying it. And he's like,
and then it's like,
he looks
Sharon
like a
looks
fan.
Like a fan who's really excited to meet Ed Sheeran. And he has like...
he's such a humble guy. Like, even listening to his interviews... he's like, you know, you've got your industry friends, but then you've got your friends. And Charlamagne was like, what's the dumbest thing you did with money? Like, when you got your first check. And he's like, you know what? I'm obsessed with James Bond, naturally. Mm-hmm. And I bought an Aston Martin. And he's like, you know, I drove it in my old neighborhood. And then I thought to myself, I am such a jerk right now. Like,
yeah.
I look like a jerk. And, like, he stopped driving. He's like, I haven't driven it since.
Well, he even says in his song, actually, Eraser, which was playing when I parked in front of your house, he was saying, like, there are friends who should be happy and they're not and they're jealous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure there's a big divide when fame hits you that some people think it's warranted.
Divide. That's the name of the album.
True. He has, like, the multiply, divide, and he's going to have add and subtract.
Yeah.
Add and subtract or plus. Or whatever.
Yeah, so which is, what's he gonna do when he runs out of... I told my, because my sister's equally as obsessed, and I'm like, what if, when he runs out of arithmetic, what's gonna be next? Like,
I mean, there's always something that he can do. He can put, like, quadrant.
To the exponent.
Parabola.
PEMDAS. PEMDAS.
Parabola.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. That's what his new album is going to be after this.
It's going to be one titled Aunt Sally. We have another little lady joining us, and that's Precious.
Oh, yeah.
Whining.
Our little, yeah, she gets a little jealous sometimes, I've noticed. I gave her a bath today, so I gave her a little extra
love. She looked
love.
Extra fluffy today.
Yeah, I gave her a little extra loving today. I was like, hi, little one.
Mm-hmm. So, we talked a little bit about what the whole month and I guess the theme of our next few episodes will be and our last few episodes have been.
Yeah.
Which is just Women's Month in general. Mm-hmm. And so Wilkes and I, to jump straight into the topic, Wilkes and I were kind of wondering feminism of the past, I guess, over the past several decades when it really became what we know feminism to be, and then now what some people are calling modern feminism, and some people have very different views on definitions of it, but we wanted to highlight, rather than speaking too much about views, just women who we think exemplify previous or I guess historical feminism and modern feminism. And we each had some of our selections, and so Wilkes, I'm gonna go ahead and give you the floor if you want to talk about your historical feminist or feminist.
Sure. Yeah. No. This is somewhat, or these are a few ladies who I'm sure, like me, you grew up hearing about because it's something deeply rooted in our culture as Dominicans, the Mirabal sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most of you, or you know, you guys have probably heard of them. too, you know, they were trailblazers, and the A Time of Butterflies is the more something that's been popular in recent years.
Yeah. To give you a bit of a history lesson there, at least with the movie, The Time of the Butterflies is a movie that stars Salma Hayek, and Mark Anthony's in it as one of the husbands.
Right.
And it was based off of a book by the Dominican American author Julia Alvarez, and it came out maybe early 2000s or so. But
yeah. So the four sisters, there were four of them, and it's so crazy because my mom went to school with one of their daughters, and so my mom, you know, she would tell us the story because she was kind of like 2 degrees from knowing them, and so the whole thing of how they toppled a dictatorship to put it nicely, or in a way, in the 1950s, it was Trujillo was in power, and Trujillo would send his men or his army men to get women from little towns so he can kind of, you know, take advantage of force himself on, to have women like that. And so one of the sisters, Minerva, caught his eye, and she was very, you know, educated. She was in law school. He invited her to a couple parties, and she would always deny him. Finally, she went, and he came up to ask her to dance, and she said no. And he kept insisting, and she just smacked him.
Keep in mind, this is the dictator a country.
Right. You know? So imagine the guts, you know. She was just like, no, smacked him, and left the party. And after that, forget it. She might as well have just, you know.
It was a death sentence.
Yeah. And after that, you know, they tortured them, and, you know, they died. And so they're just something where now in Dominican history,
it's even more so, it's how she confronted it, and how her sisters happened to get involved.
Yeah.
Because as a way of getting to them, and isn't that very typical of, like, people playing to the sensibilities of women, you know, and they attacked their spouses, their family, and they were killed under the pretense of, hey, you guys can come visit your husbands.
Yeah.
And do you know, I'm sure you know the story of how that all happened.
So the more of like the terrorizing their lives, they, you know, Minerva graduated from law school, but then her license to practice was denied. There were some things that she couldn't take part of because Trujillo would say she couldn't. He said that the only way he would stop doing all this was if she formally, like, apologized and said, like, Trujillo was, like, you know, bowing down to him, essentially, saying he's the best dictator there is and the best leader or whatever. And she said no to all that. So she was like, you know, no. And then the way it happened was they were on the way to see their husbands because their husbands were taken captive. And then they died on the way.
Like, their car, they were being trailed by Trujillo and his men. And they were given that pretense to get them out of the house. And of the four sisters, one of them stayed behind with the kids. And their car broke down, or they were, like, run off the road and taken to some sort of a field, and they were killed in the field.
Yeah.
And during that time, there was a huge movement with mariposas, which are the butterflies, which are them. And it was just, people were outraged that these women were killed so brutally. And that was, like, the beginning of the end for Trujillo, because shortly thereafter, he died in the same way, where he was trailed and he was killed, and his car had been attacked by some kind of mercenaries.
Yeah, so they really started a big movement.
Yeah, people started opening their eyes.
Yeah, definitely. And just for, as a woman, you know, as her being a woman in law school was a big deal. You know, and so that kind of started of women getting educated too, I think.
To that point, a lot of their descendants now have pretty big positions of power, both men and women, who advocates for women's rights, who are still super delayed in the DR. But they're, you know, a lot of their descendants, they blazed a trail for them.
Very much so.
You know?
Just the amount of guts and tenacity it took for them to stand up for, you know, for, no, just because you're a dictator, whatever, you're a leader, it doesn't mean you could take advantage of me, you know. That's not cool.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. What about you? What about your historical?
Well, as some of you guys might know, when I say historical, it's probably not super historic, in the sense that it didn't happen decades and decades ago, but I'm an English major, so a lot of my studies were, like, women in literature, women writers of color, Latin American literature, and it had a lot to do with the the minority group in literature, and I loved the Harlem Renaissance movement mm-hmm. and everything that, especially from the literature perspective. So one of the people that really stuck out to me that to this day I still read her for leisure was Toni Morrison. She wrote some very popular books, Sula, Beloved, and her Song of Solomon, which is an amazing, oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful story. But it talks about, you know, the stories of certain runaway slaves. It talks about just the African-American life and community in general of the early 1900s, early to mid-1900s. She was actually on the 2000, in the year 2000, her book, The Bluest Eye, was chosen for Oprah's book club.
Oh, wow.
She actually has been, funny enough, she has been asked as far as like, hey, why are you not identifying yourself as, or why do you not identify your works as feminism itself or a feminist work? And she attributes it to not wanting to limit herself to a certain closed position, because she is of the mentality that she likes to leave the endings of anything open for reinterpretation, and titling it as a feminist work can potentially bring a closed mentality versus an open mentality. And she's kind of the mentality, which I think a lot of us can ascribe to, is that she says, I don't subscribe to the patriarchy, and I don't think it should be substituted with matriarchy. Mm. I think it's a question of equitable access and opening doors to all sorts of things, which to me is the kind of feminism that I ascribe to,
yeah.
which is we're not better than men,
no.
but we are equal to them. And until that is a renowned yeah. fact,
it's not hating men, because I think now it gets lost in, and I think it's become something where it's belittled mm-hmm. being a feminist, because
yeah.
now it's like, oh, you just hate men. And it's like, no, we don't hate men, and we don't think we're better than men. We just think we're equal, mm-hmm. right? It shouldn't be a difference, right? Like, we're equal, we should be equally paid for the same job. That's mm-hmm. it, you know? And, like, we just should be looked as equal. And it's, you know, some of the signs I've seen, like, in the marches, it's just, like, if I can kick, some men wish they could kick, like, a girl, and it's just, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
I think that there are people from both mentalities that participated in any of these debates or any of these movements or
mm-hmm.
protests or what have you. There are people that kind of go in either direction. And I believe very much in staying in the middle of the road, not
yeah.
for the status quo, which people can misunderstand that mentality as just kind of trying to keep a balance just to avoid rocking the boat, but it's
mm-hmm.
because everything has to be looked at objectively,
yeah.
you know, and I believe that, I mean, you are married to my cousin who I love dearly,
mm-hmm.
and I would never think that he would belittle you because
no.
he's a man, and I don't think you find yourself to be better than him because you're a woman.
No.
You know, and I have a brother who treats us fairly and equally. My father never treated us better or worse than my brother,
right.
you know, and so we didn't grow up amongst, you know,
yeah,
men
no.
who belittled us, but we know that it is very much a real
mm-hmm.
problem that girls do face, and so yeah. why can't we stand up for that?
Yeah,
you know?
It's true. It's like they're just little things too, even like where, I don't know if you remember on The View, or if it was it on The View where there was someone with a step that like someone sent in something. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because I know it was something like a stethoscope, you know. And they thought it was one of the hosts called her a nurse, but it was really a doctor. She was
mm-hmm.
a doctor. So the nurses were kind of just like, they took offense to it, like, oh, you know, comparing nurses and doctors. But I know that's true for women who always get confused as nurses. It's not belittling nurses, but women can also be doctors.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Vice versa. It's like men can be nurses
yeah.
and not be seen as girly for that.
It's like
know?
That riddle, like, the son and
mm-hmm.
and father are in an accident,
mm-hmm.
but then the doctor says, I can't operate, that's
my
son. And no one ever says, oh, it's the mom.
Yeah, the surgeon is the mother.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like, essentially the riddle, yeah, that's a great point, Wilkes. Like, the riddle is, like, a father and son were in a car accident, and when the son gets taken to the emergency room, the doctor says, I can't operate on this child. This is my son. And people are like, how? Okay, so this is an adopted father.
Yeah.
And then the biological father is a stepdad. And but no one ever thinks the surgeon is a mom.
Right.
But you in your field, of course, see that.
Yeah, you know? All the time, every day. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sad because it kind of, you know, it belittles. And I know now growing up, I think now with this movement or with feminism becoming, you know, something that people talk about, I see even Barbies. I think are becoming, because before Barbies were always like, oh, mommy, and the pregnant, like a Barbie that was pregnant, and they're always like homemaker kind of Barbies, but now they're Barbie the businesswoman, and Barbie the doctor, Barbie the nurse, Barbie the, it's like going away from being home with the baby to actually being in a career. I don't know if you've seen the commercials with
Barbies. Yeah, they have new ones that they're like, we know we've made certain mistakes or what have you about. And theirs was mostly about the kind of image that they portray onto little girls. But I really do feel like Barbie has always... I remember that Marilyn, your sister-in-law, had a Barbie who was a vet. And so she had a little doggy and a little kitty.
Yeah.
And so she's had something like 65 careers in her life. Like, crazy amount, you know.
You know, Barbie does it all.
But Barbie now is getting inclusive, like, of all different types of color, races, body shapes. There's a short Barbie, a taller Barbie, a slender Barbie, a thicker Barbie, blue hair Barbie.
Yeah.
And so Barbie's really... And you know what? To your point, you are both a homemaker and a career woman.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're here with your child and you take care of her and you... You know, you assist your spouse, and he does the same for you, but you have a very thriving career, and and so whether somebody is in their career or is strictly a homemaker, feminism is for both of them.
Yeah, definitely, because even if you're, you know, you still, your job is important, whether you're home, whether you're out in the field, and you should be, you shouldn't be looked at different because, oh, she's a stay-at-home mom. No, that's takes hard work and dedication, too.
Yeah, and there is a branch, I guess, or people who would put themselves at a title of feminist or feminist, and they do potentially bully or harass women who choose not to have a career, and that is not where we stand.
No.
I would say you and I, neither of us, feel that that is what true feminism is.
It's hard. Listen, being in maternity leave and being home with the baby,
she knows we're talking about
like it was, that's hard, and I couldn't, like, I, in one aspect, you love it, of course, I'd love to be able to stay home and be with my baby all day. I think that's fantastic, and I just, oh, I love it, and I miss it already, but I applaud the moms who can, and, you know, make days fun, and go out, and take care of your baby, and teach them, and I just think it's an awesome thing. It's a great thing to do. Oh, there's Precious.
There's Presh.
She hates company. Someone like, yeah.
So yeah, I think it's important to understand that there are different types of people who, I mean, just because somebody might subscribe to a movement does not make everybody in that movement the same.
Yeah.
It's like anybody who says, oh, you know, Black Lives Matter, not to get into a too sensitive of a topic, but there are people who went to the other direction of saying, kill cops, you know, and it's not.
That is very true, because now it's like Blue Lives Matter, all lives matter, and then there's like a recent movement, no one's life matters, and it's just like, God, what gets lost and what gets, all this like getting diluted, you know, it's like the main issue gets forgotten in all of it, right?
Yeah.
Because now everybody's turned to the attention of like, oh, Black Lives Matter is a movement that hates cops. And it's like, actually, no.
Mm-hmm.
They're standing for something. They felt like, you know, their personal, you know, that race, the culture is being attacked. That's what they're fighting against. Not like now because, you know, cops are the enemy. No, you know, and same with feminism. It's not the men are the enemy now. It's just, guys, because at the point of it, I feel like men are feminists too. Right.
Yeah, people who don't even agree with feminism can still agree with the definition of it. And I, you know, if anybody remembers the song, Beyonce, of course, a very famous one that Beyonce released, the Flawless song, where she says, you know, feminism is the social, political, and economical equality of the sexes. And that's based off of a TED Talk. Those things are true, and if you turn to a man who is apparently quote-unquote anti-feminism and you ask him, do you think that you and I are, should have social, political, and economic equality? Mm-hmm. If he says yes, then it's like, well, then you're a feminist.
There you go.
At its most basic.
At the core.
You are a feminist.
Yeah.
And if they straight up just say, no, I don't believe that's fair, then that's why feminism exists.
Yeah,
you
then
know?
That's exactly.
But it's just, there are people in every movement, and in every sort of community that rises up, that title themselves that thing, and their motives are far from pure, or their motives are to do the opposite and not in a good way, mm-hmm. of what the movement is fighting. Because somebody who is a radical feminist to the point of hating men, you're just making the problem worse, because now you're paying kind for kind.
It's like, you know what that saying is, like, a few rotten
eggs spoil the bunch. A few rotten apples spoil the bunch.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's kind of like maybe these 2-3 people who go to protest and start, like, vandalizing.
Yeah.
That's all the news and media focuses on, right?
On
and then
people.
It's like, hello, over here, the mm-hmm. main, you know, topic and the main reason why we're doing this is because, hey, wage disparity, it exists, you know, mm-hmm. like, women get paid less for doing the same thing. Women, you know, are being harassed at work and not taken serious because mm-hmm. they complain, like, the whole thing. In major companies now, have you seen the whole, like, debacle in Uber, where, you know, a lot of women were being sexually harassed? They complained, and it was kind of, like, brushed under the rug because, you know, they're by the upper levels, and so
yeah, I actually had that experience. I met up with some friends downtown, and I didn't want to drive out there because downtown parking at night is mm-hmm. awful. So I was like, you know, I'd rather pay 15-20 bucks to Uber to town rather than pay 10 for a parking. Mm-hmm. So I took an Uber, and it was a girl, and her and I just hit it off, and we were talking, and I asked her that. I was like, do you get hit on? And she's like, of course, you know, of course you're gonna get hit mm-hmm. on. And she's like, sometimes I get nervous because the guys, like, usually if you just kind of drop it, they're fine.
Yeah.
But she knows of, like, maybe one or two guys who have given her a bad rating
because
of it. So her score suffered because she didn't allow a come on. And that was, again, that's another example of a few bad apples spoil the bunch. Because it doesn't mean every guy that she's ever given a ride to has hit on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that any guy who has hit on her has given her a bad rating.
Right.
So, but those are the ones that she remembers. And then that brings up the question of, do guys feel like girls hit on them? Do they feel that kind of a threat?
Yeah.
Maybe there's one or two guys who do say that, you know, but I don't know. It's just, it's a struggle in a lot of areas. And some people choose not to acknowledge that there is a struggle as a woman in certain workforces, but it's real.
It's real, and you know, and sometimes we're in the state of, like, ignorance is bliss, how you were saying, like, we grew up and we didn't really see, like, I never saw my sister. My sister's much older than me, and so when she was, like, starting her career, I was getting into high school, and mm-hmm. so I was seeing, you know, I don't ever remember her feeling like, oh, I'm not gonna get this job because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, oh, I shouldn't apply here because I'm a woman and what, you know, or I shouldn't apply to this school because I'm a Hispanic female and I'm not gonna get in,
yeah.
You know, but no, she never had that hold her back. So now where I see a lot of these issues arising, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, now I have a daughter. I don't want her to ever feel that way, but I also don't want her to live in maybe the ignorant bliss that I did, where, you know, these problems never existed, where they did,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they do still.
Yeah. There was actually an article that we were looking at when we started researching this topic, and it's actually on thedailysignal.com, and it mentions what they call quote-unquote campus feminism, and how there is, unfortunately, they point out that there are certain aspects of feminism that does a disservice to young women on college campuses to hear that no matter how smart or driven they are, the world is already stacked against them, and that there is this, like, faceless enemy that is out to get them. And so that alone, of course, sounds scary, or it sounds like, hey, doesn't matter how hard you work. That
mm-hmm.
is, that might as well be what feminism is fighting against, which is, you know, I think that I ascribe to the feminism that you can do, you know, you can tell your baby, you can be whatever you want to be, and it doesn't matter. I mean, if you work just as hard as a man, you are going to find a job.
Definitely.
You know, but if you're telling women, which I can agree to a point, to that mentality of, like, don't tell girls, hey, the world's out to get you.
Yeah.
Don't tell girls, hey, just because, you know, you're smart doesn't mean you're going to get a job. Men are out there to ruin your life.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of feminism. We don't want the girls to grow up afraid of good boys, because there are good men out there.
Very much so.
You know, and we know a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So it's, and that's probably the majority of them. It's just that, unfortunately, the squeaky wheels get the grease, you know, that's what you hear.
It's true. So, going into modern day,
mm-hmm.
who would be your modern day feminist, I guess you would?
Well, you guys know I like to preface things. Mm-hmm. I am a huge Harry Potter fan. It's ridiculous. And my favorite Disney princess movie is Belle's Beauty
really?
And the Beast. She's my favorite princess. And they have the live action. My sister refuses to let me see it if it's not with her. So I'm going to see that soon. But both of those things have in common, A, strong female characters,
mm-hmm.
Played by the same girl, Mrs. Emma Watson, who I think is so beautiful and I love her. She does receive backlash from time to time, because people think that it might be an act. She also got some backlash because she was, criticized for, actually this month in Vanity Fair, she, her breasts are kind of visible,
mm-hmm.
and some were saying like, oh, that's hypocritical of you, and she argues exactly what we were saying previously, which is feminism is not a stick with which to beat other women. It's instead about freedom, liberation, and equality, and she's like, I don't see what my tits have to do with that, and so...
Yeah.
If feminists are going to say, look at you portraying your breasts and letting yourself be an object of affection, well, I mean, there are certain women who march around topless in New York because they know they can.
Mm-hmm.
So feminism
shouldn't be... Or what is it, free the nip?
Yeah, free the nip. And it's like, so the same way, the same people who want to advocate for free the nip get upset when someone do, you know?
Yeah.
So like, she...
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree or disagree, but I think that it doesn't have... Her wanting to dress however she dresses does not take away from the work that she has done. You know?
Yeah, no, that's very true. And she has been, she was like the ambassador of feminism, right, or something. She started the movement Men for Women.
It was He for She.
He for She.
Yeah, in 2014, she was named as the UN Women Good, as one of the UN's Women Goodwill Ambassadors, and she had a speech where she got, like, backlash right away, but she did introduce the He for She campaign, which
mm-hmm.
essentially just calls out to men to advocate for gender equality, and she started... It started with, you know, saying when she was young, she was called bossy, but you wouldn't say that to a boy. You don't think of a little boy being bossy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so she was wondering, like, there's...
You know what didn't help? The Hermione character.
The Hermione character was very much how she was, and she
yeah.
said that she related to Hermione because that's who she was. But she's also, this is how she called, according to the speech from 2014, this is what she calls feminism. It's the belief that men and women should have equal rights and opportunities. And she also declared that the perception of man-hating is something that needs to stop in
yeah.
feminism. Not only should there not be man-hating, but people need to take away that mentality that feminism is all about man-hating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so both sides need to adjust that mentality. But yeah, I think she's great. Of course, she receives backlash like anybody in the spotlight. But she's very big, not only on women's rights, but even when it comes to, like, fair trade and you know, organic or, like, for instance, like, a lot of what she wears is to promote clothing companies that are, like, they use raw materials or they use...
Okay, so she's, like, in the vegan...
Yeah, I don't know if it's veganism. I forget the movement, what it's called. But essentially, she's just, like, planet healthy. You know,
okay.
like, she's, like, these people
Was
use...
it after her Noah's Ark movie? Because I read about that, where she, like, kind of changed her lifestyle after that movie.
Very likely.
Like, the whole becoming more grounded with
mm-hmm.
the earth and stuff like that, she said, I remember.
Yeah, so she's really big on, like, even, you know, as far as fashion goes, like, she really wants to embrace fair trade
mm-hmm.
fashion. So she was involved with a lot of those kind of, you know, she thinks that fashion is a great way to empower people and give them skills rather than, you know, giving them just money. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's, hey, like, this is how you can make your skill.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I read something where Emma Watson and Emma Stone, this is probably, like, this is a little tangent, but,
mm-hmm.
like, Emma Watson was turned down for La La Land,
mm-hmm.
and Emma Stone was turned down for the Beauty and the Beast.
And they kind of, mirror
they,
one another?
Yeah. So now Emma Stone, you know, is in La La Land, and mm-hmm. Emma Watson is on Beauty and the Beast, which is
Yeah, but I think she's
a funny little. I don't know. I just wanted to add that it was funny. You were like, whoa.
How about yours? What is your modern feminist?
My modern day feminist would be Malala. Mm-hmm. And she, if you guys don't know, she's just an exemplary young lady. She's the youngest Nobel Peace Prize winner. Mm-hmm. She's a really strong advocate for girls going to school. That's her most famous quote is, "One child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world." If you don't, you know, she was attacked because she was going to school and was shot. And she, you know, went through her head, neck, and shoulder. She was in critical condition for a long time. Mm-hmm. And even now she's kind of, you know, living with the residual of that attack. And so now she's going out and, you know, she's got a fund going on for global girls' education, so she's awesome.
Yeah, she. Funny enough, she actually in 2015 she told Emma Watson that she decided to call herself a feminist after hearing her speech at the UN
Global
Ambassador. So they're kind of connected in a really cool way.
Connected there, which is you know, she's a fantastic. She's so amazing, and it's crazy. She's got a day. It's Malala Day. It started in 2015. Mm-hmm. When she turned 18th in Lebanon. Cool.
Yeah, she actually started a school, which is the Malala Yousafzai All-Girls School. So Malala Day is when she turned 18? Is that her day.
So let's see. Yeah. I'm trying to pull up when that is, but mm-hmm. there's no word of it.
Yeah, it's Malala's birthday. But it's something that it was very shocking when we heard about Malala. And the situation, because we know that those kind of things happen, and it's actually July 13th is Malala Day, so it's approaching here in the next
couple. She's awesome. I've seen a couple interviews of hers, and she's just hearing her speak, and before she was 18, and when she was, you know, came to America and started talking, like, I think I saw The Late Show, and I remember thinking, she's so well-versed and well-spoken, you know. She speaks so well, and she's so young, and she's, I think, anytime you have a passion for something, I think you automatically, like, when you love something, I think you're just so passionate about it, and you can tell.
It glows.
Yeah, and so it was very easy for her to stand up for what she believed in, and she suffered for it, you know, this is something.
What the Taliban was trying to prevent is what they pushed forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you wanted to stop me? I'm gonna give you hell.
And so, way to go. She's awesome, I think. And she's 18. So, or, you know, now she's, what, 21?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was 2015. So she's already an adult in her own right. But she's been in the news for years now.
For years.
And so, at the age of 21, she's an established, you know, like, it's crazy. Those are the kind of people that we admire because we think that they stand for the kind of feminism that we believe in.
Right.
Which is its true definition. It's mm-hmm. not men are better than women or women are better than men mm-hmm. or we should hate men for all they've done to hurt us. It's just women recognize who you are. Don't let anyone tell you differently.
We're equal.
We're all equal. I will advocate for a man who's being stamped down, and I'll advocate for a woman who's being trampled on as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I stand.
I stand right along with you. Right along with you, sister.
Yes. So stay tuned for our future episodes as we wrap up the month of March. We have some really cool things in the works with a few other collaborations that we'll be having. We love to hear from you guys. Do you agree with our take on feminism? Mm-hmm. Do you guys find maybe we might have missed the mark somewhere? Is there a conversation that you guys want to have about this? Being the month of March, if you're a man who listens to our podcast, which I know there are a few of them out there.
Don't be shy.
I know. Just let us know. Do you agree with this? Do you find yourself to be a feminist? Were your eyes open to a new way or to what actually, I would say, to use a Republican campaign phrase, what the silent majority really feel about feminism, you know? Because you're going to see a lot of married mothers who are feminists, and I say that I'm a pro-life conservative feminist who listens to gangster rap and loves Jesus.
Whoa. Like,
I am all of those things, and they very much can coexist within me, you know? So, yeah, let us know in the comments.
Awesome. No, definitely reach out to us. We've got so many new ways for you to touch base with us. We've got Instagram, which is at @Demericana_podcast.
We also have a Snapchat, which we just launched very recently. So just find us. Our username is Demericana, and connect with us, and you can see our little antics from time to time.
I know. We try to be fun. I'm like such a noob on Snapchat, so follow us on our journey of being pros. Benzi is a pro, though. I think you're a pro.
Yeah, for Snap, for sure. I'm definitely pretty well versed there, but I'm not a Twitter person.
Yeah, you handle that. Twitter is at Demericana. We've got a Facebook page, Demericana Podcast. We've got a Facebook group, Demericana Podcast, where you guys can kind of sound off on comments and suggestions. You know, our email, where you can email us topic suggestions at demericanapodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
What else, Benz? I feel like we've got so many things, and we're just so excited for, you know, our second season and just continuing on this process and becoming better at podcasting with you guys along for the ride.
Yeah, for sure. So as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you guys have any questions, concerns, if you guys agree, disagree, whatever, we love to hear it. So let us know, and stay tuned for the rest of March.
Bye.
Bye.